Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
You need to understand the fundamentals of the industry so that you understand what a developer wants to get out of a project in terms of technical and financial success.
Shannon Farrell, professor of ag economics, Oklahoma State University, at a recent Farm Foundation forum.
And to do that, I think farmers and ranchers are actually very well positioned because they're in the land use business. And for many of us, for centuries or even at least decades, we've been, you know, co-locating our agricultural operations with oil and gas. And some of the lessons that you can learn from co-locating oil and gas and agriculture can be applied to wind and solar. But you have to understand that there are also some really important differences. If you can bring that experience and couple that with a good understanding of the technical fields, then you're really well positioned to make some good land use decisions.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
It's always productive. You know, for me at the staff level, it's helpful to get all of our grassroots members together in a room and to hear from them.
On the recent cattle industry convention and NCBA trade show, that's NCBA's chief environmental counsel, Scott Yeager.
Not only for us to have some speakers to talk about different issues like eminent domain and talk about what's happening in the Beltway as far as legislation and litigation and policy of the Biden administration, and also how we're working in that space, but also to hear from the folks who we're representing to make sure that we're doing well to represent them as best we can, and to the extent that our policies need to change or to bring our new policy needs to be added to our book, that's the opportunity for us to hear from them and to really get that and to really recalibrate where we're at as an industry. So it's always time well spent.
And when it comes to spending time, maybe Congress should have spent a little time defining waters of the U.S.
This is an issue that Congress needs to answer. Unfortunately, the way that our Congress works or hasn't worked over recent history, this issue is so politically wrought that there is no desire by at least the current Congress to answer that question. You know, it's the Democrats, perhaps if they had a 60 vote majority, might come out with their own piece of or their own definition of WOTUS in legislation. That would be perhaps a broader definition than Republicans would come out with. But given the fact that their 50-50 split with Vice President Harris as the tiebreaker is actually gone at this very moment because Ben Ray Lujan, Democratic senator, had a stroke recently and he can't vote right now. So he's sidelined, which gives Republicans the nominal majority of a 50-49 split. So that's where we're at. And because of that very close split, even if it is a Republican majority nominally right now, you still need a 60 vote, filibuster proof, majority to get anything done, especially on something like WOTUS that's so politically sensitive.
So who decides?
So Congress is not going to answer the question in the short term. And then who does that leave it with to figure it out? Well, you can see the Biden administration is trying to answer that question through their federal rulemaking authority. And then now to answer your second question, we're seeing that the Supreme Court is taking a keen interest in this case. And they've granted cert in a case called Sackett versus EPA. And the Sacketts are no strangers to the Supreme Court. They have been before the Supreme Court back in 2012, and they won a definitive victory on an ancillary Clean Water Act question. So now they're back again, and there's a very different court than there was back the last time the Supreme Court looked at the issue of WOTUS, which was in 2006 in the Rapanos case. Now we've got a stronger conservative majority that is going to look, I think, very critically at this issue and provide us, I hope, some clear guidance. Now, it doesn't mean the fact that there is a 6-3 conservative majority does not mean it's automatically going to give us a slam dunk and provide clear guidance and limit the scope of the Clean Water Act. That's not the case. These issues typically are very complicated. And while the ideology of the justices on the bench play into it, it's not going to be what ultimately how they decide it. So it's one we're going to be watching very carefully. And in fact, we just got approval, preliminary approvals to actually file a brief in that Supreme Court case. So we'll be looking at that to make sure that we get the voice of the cattle industry heard in that case as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
The formula for success is a simple one. put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight. Simple. Sold.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I'm here to tell you, it's largely being driven by the market, because over the past decade, you've seen the costs of equipment for both solar and wind go down hard.
Shannon Farrell is an Oklahoma State professor of ag economics on what's driving wind and solar, government or free market.
We had tremendous gains in how cost effective wind and solar can be just in an open marketplace. And that's really driven a ton of it. You know, I'll say in my own state of Oklahoma, we have a very significant portion of our electrical generation portfolio driven by natural gas. And natural gas is a natural complement to both wind and solar because it can ramp up and down very quickly. So if you don't have the solar or the wind resource available, natural gas can come and compensate. And so our portfolio was just basically set up for that. And lots of other states have found that it's really just cost competitive as well. As we can illustrate on the next slide, where we show the levelized cost of electricity for these various technologies. That's the LCOE. And by the way, the figures that I'm showing you take tax credits out of consideration. So this is with no federal or state tax credits. This is simply over the lifespan of a project, what it costs per megawatt hour to generate power from these technologies. And look at the top three right there. Solar has dropped so much in cost over the past decade that it's now the cost leader. Onshore wind is right behind it, beating out combined cycle natural gas. So if you're going to build a new power project, from a cost standpoint, it's just more cost effective to use wind, solar, or natural gas. And if you actually look at the next slide, you see that really bears it out, because look at what we're building in terms of new electrical generation. Overwhelmingly, it's wind, utility photovoltaic, and distributed generation photovoltaic, followed, you know, in a pretty distant second by natural gas and then other technologies there. But before we move on, I want to show you one more thing there too. And that is that yellow bar, that is battery storage. Battery costs have come down tremendously over the past decade as well. And in the next 4 to 5 years, it's estimated by industry sources that we're going to cross the threshold of $100 per kilowatt hour of battery storage. And that's important for a couple of things. Number one, it's going to make utility scale battery storage very cost effective. And you're going to have battery storage coupled with wind and solar to move wind and solar from being what we call intermittent sources to being what we call dispatchable sources, meaning it doesn't matter when the wind's blowing or the sun's shining. We can store it if we've got an excess. And if we need to dispatch that power when we've got greater demand, we can do that. And that will be an absolute game changer on the utility side, because when you couple that with the cost advances for both wind and solar and then batteries, that's going to make wind and solar power even more cost competitive. And I think you're going to see an explosion of project development on that side.
If you're looking to lease land, he says, at the end of the day, there are five questions you must ask.
But when you are approached by a developer, I want you to ask fundamentally five questions. And all these questions have a lot of subparts. But I want you to ask yourself, number one, how is my property use going to be impacted? Number two, how long is my property going to be impacted? How long is this agreement going to last? And take into account things like extension and renewals as well. What are my obligations as a landowner? What do I have to do to stay out of the way of the developer? What do I have to pay in terms of additional property taxes or anything like that? Then, of course, I want you to ask, how am I going to be compensated? And we'll talk about that in the discussion later on. But also, I want you to ask, when the project's all said and done, what assurances do I have, whether they're statutory or part of my contractual obligation with the developer, that the project gets cleaned up, that the equipment goes away, and that my land is restored to as close as possible what its use looked like before the project came on?
It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at AquaYield.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
So my family came to over the United States from Scotland before the Revolutionary War, and nobody ever told me, you know, why, or I never heard the story of why they came. Just the three brothers came to the United States at that time.
So that's South Dakota rancher Ed Blair, owner of Blair Brothers Angus, on the history of the operation.
So from there, why the three brothers kind of split up, and my, it'd be great-great-grandfather then moved into the Missouri area, and then he was a drover that used to take cattle out of Missouri to Dodge City, Kansas. And when my grandfather then was 19 years old, they sent him out to discover a new home for the family, and there was two places that they were going to look at, and one of them was in Oklahoma, and the other one was western South Dakota. And he chose the western South Dakota and settled in the valley there between Sturgis and Rapid City. And his ranch at that time was right south of the National Cemetery. It butted right up to it. But when the interstate came through in the 60s, why, it split the ranch in half. And he sold off the east half of it then to a developer, and then the west half, he lived there for a number of years after that. But my dad then split away and moved to the ranch that I'm on now in 1954. I grew up on that ranch. And the thing that's been good was I always knew what I was going to do, and it was going to run cows, and I was going to run a lot of cows. And my goal at that time was if I could run 500 cows, well, I'd probably be setting pretty good. And I kind of topped out around 1,500 before I decided, well, that's about, you know, all one or two guys could handle, and back to out of that deal.
The generational ranch has more than just history tied to it. It now has an award.
So we were nominated by all the local cattlemen's association for an environmental stewardship award. And this award is awarded to operations that have done a lot to help the environment and also, you know, manage their places. These people are good managers. They take care of the environment. They care about the wildlife. They go in and develop water systems. And I've been working on putting in water probably for 35, 40 years, and have put in, you know, 50 some miles of pipeline and probably hundreds of water tanks to, you know, be able to manage the land that I'm trusted with. And it helps manage the cattle, helps people, and then also it helps the wildlife. And we're big on wildlife. We've got one of the largest sage-grouse leks in the state of South Dakota north on a ranch north of Belle Fourche.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
88%, almost 89% of our employees are vaccinated. The 97% of the workforce actually is either vaccinated or has requested an accommodation, and we're working through those accommodations.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack earlier this year on getting staff back to work.
If they continue to work, when they request an accommodation, they just simply have to be masked. They have to have social distancing and things of that nature. So 97% of the workforce is currently covered, and we're working through the remainder of the workforce, encouraging them to either get vaccinated or to request an accommodation, and they still have time to do that.
Now, that's important because a deadline for signing up for ARC or PLC is right around the corner. Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers.
March 15th is a really pivotal day for us when it comes to especially these safety net decisions. And like you rightly say, March 15th, that's the day that we have to have completed our sign-up for the ARC PLC program. So we've got to make that program election, that choice of program that we'll have on file for 2022. And then secondarily to that, we would have to then decide, will we in fact enroll to participate in ARC or PLC for the 2022 crop year? And I know a lot of producers are, putting pencil to paper, and we're hearing a lot of indications that many producers, as we look at where prices are today and where those ARC PLC programs, how they're constructed, many producers are looking very seriously at crop insurance as a way to maybe build a little bit better safety net this year, understanding that there are some associated costs with that, but certainly we can develop a much more robust safety net based on these higher price levels through the insurance program. So we're seeing a lot of producers really very seriously considering not only how they put together their crop insurance packages with enterprise units or optional units and whatnot, but also really looking into adding those endorsements like stacks that can give them that upper end coverage and hopefully protect some of these higher price against some of these price declines that could potentially occur. So it's an important decision. And again, March 15th is the day. We have to be able to notify FSA about what we're going to do as far as enrolling into the ARC or PLC program, but also that's also the same day that we have to notify our insurance providers. March 15th is our sales closing date here on the plane. So we also have to have solidified those insurance choices as well. And so anybody that, has some questions about that, would encourage them to go to the Plains Cotton Growers website. We've got a really good video up there of a presentation that I was able to give a couple of weeks ago. That kind of runs down these ARC PLC and crop insurance decision points. And hopefully we'll give some folks a better idea of kind of what we may be looking at and how they may want to put together their safety net programs for 2022 as well. So definitely encourage folks to check that out on the PCG website and also just not to hesitate to shoot us an email or give us a phone call here at the office and just ask the question. And we'll be glad to, to help, walk them through that information and, point them at any other decision aids, such as the decision aid tool through the Ag and Food Policy Center down in Texas A&M, another great resource for producers, wanting to kind of get an idea of, what the likelihood of ARC and PLC payments coming for the 2022 crop might be.
It's Agriculture Today.
My name is Manuel Macias. My dream was to become a farmer like my grandfather and my dad. It was hard back then. I wanted so bad to buy some land, but no bank will go with me until I went to Capital Farm Credit. And as soon as I walked in, I felt the friendliness in it. It's a partnership. It's good to do business with a company that looks out and gives you back whatever you put in. Capital Farm Credit, together we're better.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment, and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Most of these that I have seen are structured in sort of, if you want to call it, a lease option on the front end that can be anywhere from between 6 months to 8 years. That basically gives the developer of the wind farm or the solar farm a chance to basically get other acreage under contract that they need to do testing, with Met Towers like Shannon had a photo of earlier. Maybe some sampling to make sure that it's geologically sound to build a wind tower or a solar farm on the property, and then to get the necessary permits and other things that they might need.
Garrett Tallgut is an Illinois Farm Bureau corporate law attorney on wind and solar leases.
I generally tell landowners in the educational meetings that I do that the shorter the diligence period, that sort of option term on the front end, the better it is for you, right? Because at the end of the day, as a landowner, you want to be able to fish or cut bait, right? You've given me this contract for a solar lease that says they're going to pay me X number of dollars per acre for the term of the lease. Let's fish or cut bait. Let's either do it or not, right? Understanding, of course, that these things do take some time, but there's certainly some push and some pull there between the developer and the landowner about how long that should be. And from my perspective, from the perspective of the landowner, I think that the shorter the better.
It was featured during a recent Farm Foundation forum on green energy. What about lengths of agreements and termination?
I've seen anything from 20 to 60 to 70 years. These are going to be very long-term agreements. One thing to consider is, should the term of the agreement be tied to the life of the actual installation, whether it's the solar farm or the wind turbine or whatever it is. Termination of these things in all of the leases that I have seen is not terribly difficult for the developer. It is nearly impossible for the landowner. So that is one thing that all landowners need to make sure that they understand is that, and by the way, this makes sense, right? If you're a solar developer, you don't want to sign a lease for a whole bunch of acres, sink the money into installing a whole bunch of panels on the property, and then 5 years later have the landowner come and say, you know what? I don't like this. You got to take these things off, right? That wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't be economically viable. And so honestly, that makes sense. But landowners need to understand, they need to do their due diligence, because once this thing gets installed, outside of just not receiving any payments at all, any of the contractually required lease payments, there's just not a good opportunity for a developer, or I'm sorry, for a landowner to terminate these agreements.
But if you're looking at rolling out farm or ranch land, make sure you take a trip to the Farm Service Agency.
You need to go and talk with the people at the FSA. At your local FSA office and figure out what the consequences of doing something like this might be. Specifically, what I think a risk could be is losing out on base acres. So again, if you have the 100-acre property, you have 100 acres of base, presumably. And if you cover that property, and this goes for solar in particular, because like Shannon said, wind, you might only have a few acres that might be taking that production. Solar, it might be the whole thing. So if you cover the property with solar panels, what happens to your base? In many instances, that base might go away and it might never come back. So you would want to make sure that you understood exactly what the consequences of something like this might be in terms of farm program payments. CRP, if you have some property in CRP that might be used for wind and solar development, then you got to kind of assume that you're going to breach that contract and that you're going to owe any payments that you've received previously as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
And so you've got all these players along the way, too, who are only able to control what they can control.
Aubrey Betancourt is president and CEO of the Almond Alliance, speaking recently at World Ag Expo on supply chain disruptions.
I talk to our port operators when I can, and I say, what do you need? Well, right now we need this, or right now we need that. We need focus on this. We're going to try to get, we've heard about the pop-up yard in Oakland, which we're very thankful for. The pop-up yard in Oakland is literally trying to just create flow again. Let's pull some of the empties out. Let's have them available for ag, so ag can go in, get them out, and maybe we stop the kind of push-me-pull-you action of trucks trying to get in and out of the terminals. Is it a solution? It's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid that's going to help. But we're putting Band-Aids on bullet holes when you consider the reality of my farmer on the ground who just got that letter, who said, I'm not getting the cash flow I need.
But they're all Band-Aids, which is why she says it's time to get loud.
And I think if there's anything anyone in this room can do, it's get loud. Call your members of Congress. Call your governor's office. Call your state representative. Call your local government, especially if you're anywhere near a port or an export entity. Really leverage this. What I am so amazed by is I think the export story is not getting told. I think we tell the importer story really well because that has the greatest translation, right, to the most people. And why does, you know, we experience that in agriculture all the time, right? We're 1.5% of the population, so no one really listens to what we have to, you know, we always feel like, yeah, we kind of get the, we're the small guys. But I think we could be telling our exporter story a lot better, and this is absolutely tied to American competitiveness and our strength in the world and our security in the world as well. And so when this is broken, it's going to have on-the-ground real effects. We're going to start seeing it this year in ways that we haven't so far. We've been cushioned. My concern is we either pay for it now or we pay for it later. So this is we're getting to the 30-day of finding solutions point. I think the best thing we can do is get loud and demand that we get some respect and we move the long-term solutions like Ocean Shipping Reform Act, but we start leveraging our muscle. Sometimes you just got to bark big. But I tell you, the world will pay attention when we do, especially when you consider the level beholden to these foreign carriers, and that's really what it comes down to. We just don't have domestic carriers that would play ball with us like that, and the vast majority of our carriers are foreign-owned and foreign-operated. And so we're limited in what recourse we have, and so we've got to find other and creative ways. So I open it up to you, the ag community, for questions and for conversation more than anything, because I really think this is one of those deals where we're going to have to solve it for ourselves, and we need to start elevating solutions to those that want to help. They're out there. They're in key positions, but we're going to have to handhold it through. So I'm open to ideas. I'm never going to be the one that says I've got the end-all, be-all solution to this one, because it's it is a Persian rug. When you pull that one thread, it's going to affect a lot of other things. So I think it's going to take all of us pulling together. I am encouraged by our trade associations. They are cooperating in ways I've never seen them do before, and I've been in ag my whole life and career. So I am encouraged in that. And so if you are in a member of any other association beyond Almonds or any others, please be working their networks too and give them the support that they need and tell them your story, because that's the why for the what they're asking for, and that's the narrative we need to be pushing more than anything. So for us right now, they're going to be hearing us complaining a lot about closing these receiving windows. That's my latest push right now. I'm putting a bright, shiny spotlight on these ships, closing these receiving windows, and treating us like, you know what, it's just not okay. And the more people we can get to echo that, I think the more folks will pay attention and the more we can kind of put some pressure on and demonstrate the value of the American agricultural economy.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cotton seed from AmeriCotton. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
This is Agriculture Today.
Basically, the developer is saying, we're going to lease your property for a certain amount of time, and then also you're going to give us an easement to do some things that you might consider to be annoying.
Talking wind and solar, Garrett Tallgut, a corporate law attorney with the Illinois Farm Bureau.
For wind, that might be flicker. It might be some electromagnetic interference. For solar, it might be glare. It might be some noise with wind. It might also be some noise with solar. There have been some complaints about solar noise. I personally... The times where I have toured solar farms, I have not found them to be noisy, but we're hearing about, you know, some people complaining about solar noise. And like I say, essentially the easements that I have seen allow the developer to do some things that could be annoying. And so you as the landowner ought to figure out, okay, are these things they are talking about doing that I might find to be annoying, are those deal breakers or are they not?